about FAIR, you can check out our website. It's FAIR.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 5:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses. Tonight, host Jordan Michelle and guests share Black women's perspectives on Black History Month.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Warrior tells the true story of Leonard Peltier, the American Indian leader locked away for life in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Warrior takes us back to the violent confrontations at Pine Ridge and Wounded Knee in the 70s, and through Peltier's harrowing odyssey through the American justice system. Leonard's son, Chauncey Peltier, will hold a Q&A after the film. Again, that's Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street 3rd Annual Mardi Gras Festival, Tuesday, February 9th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. This annual celebration features the Les Blyke Mardi Gras films Dry Wood and Always for Pleasure, as well as food, costumes, music, and more. Again, that's the 3rd Annual Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday celebration, February 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Love somehow. I'm
through playing with fire. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to Whole Foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbet Street between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop. And McMiniman's Crystal Ballroom, presenting a conversation with Russian feminist punk rock protest group Pussy Riot. Tuesday, February 9th, moderated by Storm Large and John Sepulvedo. Tickets and information for this all-ages seated event with Pussy Riot are available at crystalballroompdx.com.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a diverse collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. Among these topics, individuals of our collective have the freedom to discuss themes that they are passionate about. If you would like to follow our story, you can like our page on Facebook by getting updates and viewing behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kboo.fm/breadandroses. If you are interested in hosting, producing, engineering, or joining the collective, please contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kboo.org. My name is Jordan Michelle, and tonight on Bread and Roses, myself and four other lovely ladies will kick off Black History Month discussing a variety of topics on why this month is so important for reflection and celebration of our American history and Black culture. Before we begin our discussion, I'd like to introduce my guests, who are all graduates of Portland State University. Starting off with Jasmine. Jasmine is a psychology major, following Zanelle, who is a major in communications with a focus on women and a minor in business and Black studies, and Angela, who also majored in public health and communications. Ajere, it will be joining us later on, but she also majored in social science. So again, welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Mic, check, check. Okay. So tonight, ladies, I would just like to kind of have like a girls' chat. It's open for whatever. But to start off, I just want to express the importance of what Black History Month means to all of us. For me, it, like I said, it's more of like a time to really reflect and celebrate our culture and why it's important. And so, yeah, we're going to kick off tonight, and I would like to hear all of you guys' opinion of what Black History Month means to you.
Who wants to start?
I'll go.
Okay.
For me, I think it's a really good opportunity to teach other people. It's like an excuse to openly talk about race, where a lot of times it's really awkward or people feel uncomfortable.
Right. It can be a very courageous conversation. It can be.
Definitely.
Insensitive. Yeah.
I think it's a good time that we set aside to celebrate our culture and then also allow our alliances of different cultures to come into our world, so to speak, and get to know some of the different struggles, but then also the victories that we have had the ability to conquer in all of our cultures.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd have to say that Black History Month is every day for me. When I think of our history, I think it's unfortunate that we get this only this month. I mean, I feel like we should embrace this all the time, and I feel like most people in our community are embracing it all the time. Mm-hmm. But we do get this opportunity to then teach others about Black history.
Right. So I know you guys have heard probably in the media and news.
It's coming.
You already know what I'm going to say. Miss Stacey Dash.
Gabrielle Union had an interview the other day where mm-hmm. someone asked her, what do you think, or what is your opinion on Stacey Dash's comments? And mm-hmm. she goes, who's that?
Stacey who?
Right, that was on
She's
the
like,
right
I don't know who that is. She says, maybe whoever the crazy lady is who had the audacity to make the comments that she made, maybe she needs to, you know, have a little bit more of lessons on what it takes or who we are as Black people. But mm-hmm. I kind of feel the same way, that she's irrelevant. And I think the media has had a field day talking about her and making all of her statements relevant when really they're not.
Right. Do you guys feel like her opinion or her judgment on Black history has changed because of her spotlight in the media and how she's like a spokesperson for, is it Fox News
Fox
now?
Fox News. Yeah.
Right. Do you think that has had some kind of effect on her belief or understanding, or you think she's always been that way? Because she said we should get rid of Black History Month and we should get rid of BET, which is Black Entertainment Television. And she's made numerous appearances on BET, and a lot of her beginnings came from Black entertainment. Yeah. You know,
Yeah, I think it has to do a little bit with about doing your research. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the case with Stacey Dash, she's not really addressing how we have networks like BET because we weren't given those opportunities. So in our community, we had to make those opportunities for ourselves in order for us to get the spotlight that we need, the well-deserving spotlight that we need.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Any other thoughts?
I think a lot of Stacey Dash's comments really reflect on self-identity. I'm not in the position to tell someone about themselves, but from what I see and hear from a lot of the comments that she's made is that she struggles with self-identity and having the ability to celebrate herself. She was actually on a show, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to catch it. I think it was a while ago, but because everyone is talking about her, it resurfaced. She had an interview with Meredith, and she was talking about what Meredith was kind of talking about, how there is gender inequality in the workplace and how we don't get paid the same amount of money that men do. It's 76 per the dollar. And she sat there for about 9 minutes arguing with Meredith and saying that, no, I think it's up to us women for us to make as much as men. I think that we create our own destiny. And Meredith told her, no, honey, the proof is in the pudding.
It's the facts.
It's the facts. It's data. It's the numbers. Exactly. We make 76 cents to the men's dollar. And she wouldn't admit that. She just kept saying, no, I believe that women have the ability to create their own destiny and has nothing to do with inequality.
Right.
So I think a lot of her comments, I think people give her a lot of attention, but it's really, she just has a really hard time finding her self-identity.
Right, right. Speaking on self-identity, how do you think, like, being a mixed Black person, so coming from other cultures, can also put you in, you know, kind of not in an awkward situation, but I've encountered lots of people who struggle with self-identity if they are multi-race. And so, I mean, do you have any opinions on that and how that can cause barriers?
I think it could. I think anyone who shares two different cultures in their life, mm-hmm. you know, comes through those crossroads, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can speak to that a bit. I wouldn't exactly say being two different cultures, but being that I'm an African American, being that I grew up majority in Vancouver, Washington, those are, you know, that group is majority white. Mm-hmm. So there's always the dealing with, you know, learning yourself. I was not immersed in my culture, so mm-hmm. I had to then, you know, learn, mm-hmm. read, talk to people, have mentors, and right. and just get to know myself, mm-hmm. yeah. mm-hmm. in order to really be able to grow and learn from that.
Right. I'm actually glad you mentioned that, because I was in the same exact situation. I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, and for a long time, I knew where I came from, and I knew my personal upbringing, being a young Black girl, but it was also a struggle for me to then relate to other Black folks I would come in contact with, because right. I would speak differently, or mm-hmm. I would act a certain way, or I wouldn't be in the know of what current music and television is, you know. So that definitely caused a barrier for me, and that had nothing to do with me being biracial, right. you know. So speaking on the media, how has the media affected, you know, young women, young Black women's perception of body image?
Oh, Lord.
I know. We can talk all night about that.
I know it. Mm-hmm. Right? I would say the perception that of what perfection is has definitely evolved. It was once upon a time perfect to be super skinny, and so women that were curvy thought they weren't beautiful. And then now it's, if you're, you know, really curvy, huge bust, small waist, and a big behind, that's perfect. And then there are women who feel like, well, I don't have those attributes, so how can I view myself to be beautiful? How can I view myself to be perfect? And so when you try to align your beauty with the media, it's almost as if you never win, because it's ever changing, it's ever evolving. Every 5 years, there's a different standard of what beauty is, and so it's really not fair. And if you don't grow up in a home where they, you know, you're loved and nurtured, and they tell you you're beautiful, and they tell you that no matter what you look like, you're of value to the earth, and you have something to bring forward, then you're always going to be leaning towards what society has right. for you, and you'll never be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ajre.
Hey.
Did you want to share any insight on how the media affects our body image and how we view, you know, body image in general? Mm-hmm. Does anyone else want to chime in on that? It's really big. I work with youth on a daily basis, and I know a lot of them say the same thing that mm-hmm. you said. You know, they think that they have to have a big breast and a big butt, and, you know, they want to wear those waist trainers, right. and then they're trying to do a whole bunch of squats to get a big butt. And it's just mm-hmm. like, you know, there are different body types, and you're not going to have that hourglass shape if you weren't built to have an hourglass right. shape. You know what I mean? So media can do some crazy things to a person's mental, and there's, you know, right. insecurity that it can create insecurities, or it can build you, one or the other.
Right. And I think that it's interesting because what media is has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be just television. Mm-hmm. So at least you had one source of what right. perfection was. And then it moved to the World Wide Web, right? Mm-hmm. And then it changed into, you know, Facebook and now Instagram. Honey, how many Instagram models are they? Right. You know, that everyone is just paying them, you know, to show their bodies off and sponsoring them to show their bodies off, and not necessarily in a positive way or an inspiring way, but mm-hmm. just objective us to believe that we have to look like that in order for us to get the attention or to be as worthy, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the number of different platforms, media platforms, has definitely complicated things over the years.
For sure. I love it when celebrities are on these social media sites and they do side-by-side photos of what is photoshopped in and what is natural. Mm-hmm. Or if, you know, they post pictures on Instagram of them without makeup on, and they just look like average people. And I'm not mm-hmm. to say, like, it's bad if they show, you know, their celebrity status, but it's nice to see these celebrities, these role models, saying or showing their viewers or their fans, you know, I'm just like you, or right. I can kick my feet up, I can put my hair in a ponytail and sweats and chill, you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, social media can be used in a good way for those celebrities that are out there. And I look up to a lot of those celebrities. Like, I love Gabrielle Union mm-hmm. and Dwayne Wade's relationship. Like, they're so cute on social media.
Yeah.
And I think Sierra's another great one who just is always clean-faced yeah. in her Instagram pictures.
I noticed that she's starting to post a lot more pictures without mm-hmm. makeup on.
Right.
And you can tell the difference, but not really, you mm-hmm. know, and I love that she posts and says, well, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I look like. And I wanted to take a picture here, so right. I took it right. instead of waiting for an entire glam squad, honey.
Exactly.
Just take a picture of you coming out of your house. You're going to get the mail, honey, and you got a whole glam squad that had to put it together for you.
Right. Exactly.
I do have something to say about
yeah.
that. I was just on Snapchat yesterday, and the artist Kehlani was just talking about loving yourself, being uh-huh. beautiful, and she was using a makeup remover and like, look at all these acne scars I have, you know, like, you're still beautiful
oh
the
goodness.
Way you are. And I just think that's really important for young girls to hear and guys to hear too, because they have insecurities as well.
I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah,
I like that,
that
she used her platform for that.
Exactly. So who are some inspirational Black women in you guys' life?
I'd say my mom.
Your mom?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that too.
Direct impact, my godmom.
Godmom?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say all of you guys.
I know.
As cliche as that sounds.
I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, actually, we're in our group message all the time, talking all the time.
Right.
So we look up to each other.
Mm-hmm. Right, I think so. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, and we all are in different career fields, and we can always have each other's back when needed, and we're still young, we're still finding our careers and diving into that. So, you know, I think this is a great network that we have, and Yeah, so you guys definitely are inspiration to me. If I could dig a little deeper and if I could think of some celebrities, my biggest idol, for a while, was Janelle Monáe. And the reason why she was one of my idols is because she did not want to compromise herself for what the media wanted her to look like. Right. When she first came out, she was in a suit and tie every time you saw her, mm-hmm. black and white. And what she described that to be was her uniform. So she grew up in a low-income family, and her dad was a janitor, and then her mom, I think, cleaned houses or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were in the same outfits every single day. And that just kind of humbled her, and she took that and implemented it into her work. So her suit and tie is her uniform, and she performs in it. She's clean cut, she's covered, you know, she's not exposing a lot of skin, and she was just always humble. She wore her hair naturally, and I just loved that about her. She was such a great role model to me. She spoke about meaningful things in her songs, right. And I remember one time I actually went to her concert and I dressed up just like her. And one of her band members saw me in the audience and handed me a VIP bracelet.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, do I get to meet her? He's like, yes, you get to meet Janelle Monáe. Oh my gosh, girl. When she came on stage, I just started crying because I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to meet her. And she's been such a role model in my life.
When was this?
This was 2014, so my senior year of college. Oh, yeah.
What a gift.
It was so nice. And, you know, I got to meet her, and she saw that I was crying in the audience. she was like, why were you crying up there? I said, and I was like, Janelle, really? Like, you are just such an inspiration. You're so humble, and I love what you speak about. And, mm-hmm. and you don't conform. You stick to what you know. And you know, and I love that. I love when celebrities can still be spiritual and acknowledge the Lord when they... you know, when they're performing and when they're in interviews and things like that. And that means a lot to me. I try not to idolize because, you know, with my faith, you know, I don't want to put anyone first before God. And I actually caught myself doing that. After I had spoken to her, I was like, wait, Jordan, you could have said this to her and you could have said this. And, right. oh, you forgot to say this. And da-da-da-da.
We forget they're human beings.
Right. That. And it just started to absorb me. And I was just like, okay, I gotta pray on that. I need to stop thinking about that. Moving on. You know? Even I know he is not a woman, but Denzel Washington, like, I really love the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. and I know it's so cliche for me to say that Denzel Washington is you know, so inspirational, right. is a huge black figure, but he really is. I just love and admire his work in film, and he's just brilliant.
So. And he seems to have a really good personality too.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video where he was speaking to a group of students. I think he volunteers at a small theater in his community. Okay. And he did this speech where, well, it was kind of impromptu. He was really just talking to them. It was mm-hmm. a speech to me. But he was talking to them about working hard for greater things, for the greater good, and not worrying about materialistic things. And it's always nice to hear that from celebrities that, you know, they got millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they take the time to volunteer and they take the time to pour good life into, you know, the next generation. And he was just talking about, you know, all these things that, you know, people absorb, you know, or idolize, like, you don't have it, you know, in the next life, you don't get to take it with you.
Yeah.
And so, yes, focus on being successful. Yes, focus on, you know, having the ability to provide for your family and to put food on the table, but also be ready to give to your to your community. And I just loved that because he didn't have to do that, and he doesn't have to volunteer all the time and take the time to provide for them, you know?
Right.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think? I got a list of different people.
I know, right?
I could talk about them all day.
Someone who's really big to me is, I mean, of course, cliche, but Michelle Obama. I mean, you know, I just think that's so huge to see a black family in the White House. You know, when you're a kid, you're always asked about what do you want to be when you grow up. And I think, you know, when you're young, you only see so far, you know, but I feel like a lot of kids now are able to say that, you know, they want to be the president, you know, that's huge to me.
Right. And it's realistic.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, what's funny. I forgot which generation it was, but I saw this meme and it was of a white parent telling their daughter or son saying, "Hey, guess what? We might have a white president in the house next year." God. And they're like, "What?" Like, that was the reaction on their face because ever since they were born, you know, it's been a black president.
Oh,
so
that's
thing
right.
That, you know what I mean? So it was the funniest thing. And I'm just that like, I love
true.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been 8 years.
Yeah. 8 years. So an 8-year-old's
an
like, wait,
who's
huh?
never,
There's a white man in the year? And like, oh, cool.
Isn't you that know? Fascinating? It's a completely different life for them that they never would have even thought of, you know? I think that's pretty amazing. Again, ever evolving.
Right.
Ever evolving.
Right.
How about you, Jasmine?
Mine's cliche too, but I just love Maya Angelou. So I did a paper on her my freshman year in college, and I read all of her autobiographies, and I just love that she was her authentic self throughout the whole thing. And she had real life struggles, you know, and was able to overcome and still find positive in people and in herself and be a teacher and an activist. And so I just love that because I want to take my authentic and genuine self to everything that I do too. So she made it feel like, you know, you could still have a huge impact on people and be your true self.
I love that.
Yeah.
She's on my list too.
Yeah.
I really like her. She talked about she was on Masterclass with Oprah Winfrey, and she talked about how she didn't speak for most of her childhood because she was she was raped by, I think it was a close uncle or a close relative. And when she finally told someone about that tragedy, the person was killed. And she felt like because she spoke out about what was done to her, her voice caused that man to die. And so she didn't speak for years. And then now, I mean, I can't imagine a world where Maya Angelou didn't open her mouth or Maya Angelou didn't write books and tell her story. So I think her story is just a testament of your voice is powerful. And even in the most tragedy, you can create something that can inspire people, you know, to live on and to rise.
She's definitely too inspired me to really share my story and be empowered in that. So,
yeah,
love her.
Yes, love Maya Angelou. So, for those just now tuning in, this is Bread and Roses, and I'm your host, Jordan Michelle. And tonight, we're just a group of Black women talking about the importance of Black history and just educating and expressing our love for our culture. We're gonna go to a music break real quick and we'll be right back.
like, oh, Lord.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bread and Roses, and I'm your host, Jordan Michelle. And tonight, we are getting a Black woman's perspective on just life in America and our views. So I wanted to jump back into our topic on the media and its effect on our world. But to move on forward from that, I would like to ask you, ladies, what is your perspective on, or how has your views on men changed over the years? So we're gonna shift it over to something a little more fun to talk about. No? Nobody wants to start it off? Oh, wow. Really?
I know Angela's over there.
She has a lot to say. She about
to just pour out.
Right.
Go ahead, pour up. I was going to say, pull up, Angela.
For real.
Views on change over...
Just views on men, like from your teen years until your adult years now. How has it changed?
You know, I think it's about knowing yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can't really give to someone until you're complete, you know, until you've really worked on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really big on growth. I'm big on healing. I'm big on experience. I'm big on mentorships and talking to people. And I know this is something that a lot of Black people don't like to talk about, but I'm big on counseling. You know, when you really have struggles and something that you're dealing with, you have to be able to talk to somebody, because if not, you're going to take the same thing that you left from one relationship right mm-hmm. into the next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the topic of men and how my views have changed, I have to applaud our acceptance of team force in relationships. That has changed drastically. I think that it's so cool to have men that are willing to cook, that are willing to clean, that are willing to stay up and help you with the business plan and then wake you up in the morning and have breakfast ready. I think that's something that, you know, like when I talk to my aunts and I talk to like my godmom and, you know, other women in my life that are from a different generation, they say that that has changed drastically. And I can't imagine a world without that. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad, who adopted us, he always, you know, he was a doctor working 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. He would come home and immediately he'll start cooking dinner. If I haven't started cooking, I'll jump in and I'll help him. And the relationship that I'm in now is the same thing. There isn't this idea of gender roles. And I really have to commend that. I think that is a beautiful thing that I'm seeing in, evolve in men. Again, I wasn't necessarily in a generation where I saw it extremely different, mm-hmm. but I love that. And I love that it's an open conversation and it's not so tense and it's not mm-hmm. so one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Right, gender roles is really big, especially mm-hmm. nowadays in this time. I do like sharing roles,
mm-hmm.
you know. For me, my boyfriend is very independent and he likes to, you know, just go for things, take care of it. And if it's, you know, if usually I cook for him, but if I'm not around, then he'll cook, you know what I mean? Right. And so I don't know. I think gender roles are really important and that they're not like set in stone for any particular mm-hmm. Gender. And but overall, over the years, I've learned a lot being in relationships, and I think having that my parents are married for 27 years now, they've set a really high standard for me, and they've set a really good example for me and what to look for in a person, and my dad is very, very active in my life and has always been, and you know, he can make things kind of hard for me when it comes to boyfriends, but I definitely appreciate all of his input, and I appreciate his, is it
stamp of approval when it comes to my partners. But yeah, I definitely think that, you know, you have to experience things in order to learn from them, whether they were good or bad. And I've experienced both. But yeah, I don't regret anything over the years.
What do you ladies think?
No? Y'all have to have
some folks don't
want to
spill the beans.
Right.
We might give them the mic and we're going to be here all night.
Right. Who'd y'all tell? You don't want nobody to hear something? You can make it general. No? Still
I'm
no?
Thinking. Well, I guess in general, I have a lot more positive perspective of men. I grew up in a single mother household, so I didn't really just have an example on the day-to-day of what a father type role is supposed to be. And it also makes it difficult, like when you're growing up and looking, you know, I don't know what to look for. What are the signs of like maybe a not so healthy relationship? What are the signs of a more healthy relationship? Those sorts of things. So since being in college, I've been able to see like positive examples of black men specifically, and it's very encouraging and inspiring.
Yeah.
I'd say the same. I did grow up for a good portion of my life in a single parent household, living with my mom and my siblings, and then she got married to my stepdad, who I call dad, and he's a really great father and a really great husband as well, and so I have that example to look towards and who I'm with now, you know, and I know how a man should treat a woman and how a man shouldn't treat a woman from that experience. So it's been good. Yeah, learning.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I can ask a question. What do you all think of the statement, daddy issues? Mm-hmm. And is that real? Do you think it's real, or is it like Stacey Dash said, that you have the ability to control your destiny? I think it's very much a choice, but I want to know what you all think of that statement. I think that it's lightly thrown around on women. So I just want to hear what you guys think about that.
It's a great question.
Especially in the African-American community.
Well, you finished with the... as women. So I just immediately, my thought was, well, this is just not for girls. This is definitely for young males too. They definitely have daddy issues as well, if we're, you know, using that term. But I think it's real. You know, I think that, you know, people can have father issues, whether you are a boy or a girl, no matter what your age is or what your experience was, or even if there is a father in the home, there can always definitely be issues. It's all about that relationship and, you know, how you were brought up and what you've seen. So, you know, going off of to the healthy or unhealthy relationships that you've seen your parents have, also I feel definitely provides that foundation of, you know, what you see, but ultimately what you end up giving into the world is, I feel like, what you decide to give to the world.
Right.
And that's where I discussed earlier about the counseling and learning yourself and getting to know yourself and if you see flaws within yourself, changing that and working towards it. Mm-hmm. Nothing is overnight, and it's not magic by any means, but it really takes hardcore self-reflection.
Right. So you believe that it has the ability to impact one's life, but then how they then exert it into the world is their choice, and it's their decision.
Yes.
Okay. I would agree with you, but I just like, I guess when I hear the term daddy issues, I don't really like the judgment that comes along with that, because someone might perceive my growing up with a single mother household as daddy issues, but
exactly.
I see that as I didn't really feel like I was missing out on anything, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're putting your judgment and your perception on my situation, and that's not really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and a lot of times too, like it makes it a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, not having a male figure in my household did impact how I view certain things or how I act, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
And I'm assuming that your mom was pretty powerful for you to not feel like you were missing anything and for you to feel like you're just fine, and I think you are.
Okay, great.
I was actually watching a show that Rev Run and
Tyrese
yes. put together.
Let's talk about it.
It's not, what is it? It's not you, it's men. Mm-hmm. And I just started checking into that show, and it's so good.
I love it.
They have such great conversation. And yesterday, I think the topic was, you know, Tyrese had asked Rev, you know, for me, who didn't have a father figure, or I've never been married before, I didn't have an example, right. How do I know what to look for? Right. What qualities do I pay attention to? Mm-hmm. You know? So that is a good question. It's kind of like what you were saying, but you're saying you feel like you didn't miss anything, but you still have a good judgment. You still know how your mother treated you growing up. But how do you know what to look for if you don't have that example?
I think it goes into what Angela was saying about having it impact your life, but then you make a choice. You know, it's just like, for me, after my mom died, I was adopted. Mm-hmm. And I recall in the time that I did have my biological mom, my dad passed away, and then I was left in a home with my mom for a few years, and she was a widow. And I didn't feel like I was necessarily missing anything. I didn't feel as if, you know, I missed having a father, and or when, you know, little girls have their like daddy days or like daddy dance day, and my father wasn't there for that. Mm-hmm. Those are the times that I was reminded that a father wasn't in a household. But, you know, as far as what my mother took care of, at the end of the day, she showed me what it was like to be a strong woman and to mm-hmm. hold an entire household on her own. However, you know, being adopted, and then, you know, I got a dad, I got to kind of see what that was like. Mm-hmm. And then I had I had a mom too, who they both adopted us. But after that, I created a network of powerful women in my life that, for all the things that, you know, I might be missing from my biological mom, I'll find them in them. And, you know, with my adoptive mom, Maya, there are some things that I'll find in her. But I have my godmom, I have my pastor's wife, I have my mentor, Melanie. Mm-hmm. I have an array of powerful women who not all of them necessarily look like me, but some think like me. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they have the same passions as me. They want to do well and provide service in their community as much as I do. And that was a choice mm-hmm. I made. And I think that when you create a community around you that is willing and open to groom you, and you are willing to open up to them, the possibilities are endless on right. who you become. Right. And very much so, you know, with my godmom, Charnel, I love her. And I can call her at 3 a.m. and I can tell her, Dre and I got in a fight about this, and that. What do I do about that? Mm-hmm. And she will tell me, baby girl, you're wrong. Mm. You know, you were wrong when you did this. You were wrong when you did that. This is how you apologize. Or she'll say, Dre is the right man because he responded to you this way. So I think it takes you having, you know, the willingness to look into your community and see, who are those people with those characteristics of right. a father mm-hmm. that I want? Who are those women in the community that have the characteristics of the mother that I want? And that's when you learn that, you know, the term, it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah. That's when you will become that person who knows who is the right person for you.
Right. Deep. You just laid it on us. I respect that. That's a great perspective.
Angela, what were you thinking over there?
I wasn't really thinking, you know, too much. I mean, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like for me, it was when I transferred up here to Portland State and I joined my sorority, I feel like that was really a time where I was able to like start building that community. And then within that community, I started meeting these ladies here that were, you know, talking to me about mentorship and like, well, who are your mentors?
Right.
I'm like, what mentors? What? Nobody gave me the notebook to the mentors, you know. But I start to check myself, and then I start to dig in to see, like, well, what does Angela love, and what's Angela's passion, and some of them were end up being family members. I have an amazing aunt, and she's so supportive. She's never said no to anything I've ever asked. And then I started connecting, you know, getting closer into the church, and you know. I was supplied with I was given from somebody a spiritual mentor, and that has just like rocked my world in such a positive way. And then so on and so on, you know, even males, you know, just sitting down with males in the community that I really look up to in such a powerful way, and just learning so much. So I'm big too on the mentorship and, you know, we all are learning. There's, you know, I wasn't born with all this knowledge. You know, I had to really start reaching out to people. And I'm always humble that way when I sit down with people and I'm like, I don't know it all. And I'm glad I don't know it all. And that's why I'm here. I want to learn from you. And that's people in all different fields. Just, you know, whether that's I don't want to start giving names out, but just tons and tons of fields and tons of knowledge to go along with it.
Beautiful ladies, thank you for sharing your stories. Really appreciate it. All right, I have another question for you guys. Have you ever been discriminated against? Jeez. And if you have, do you feel like you're discriminated more for being a woman or being African American?
All of my examples that immediately pop into my head are actually around being multiracial.
So really?
I feel like I get it kind of from both worlds. Mm-hmm. And it's usually in a more passive passive way. So I get told that I'm not black enough or not liking a certain food, not listening to a certain music, not knowing some cultural fact, like I'm supposed to be an encyclopedia. But then it's also, I also get it from the other side where I'm too black, you know, maybe say in a work setting. So those are the examples that come to my mind. Or even recently at work, I've worked with two clients specifically, and one happened to be white and the other one was black, and they both broke a rule of our house, and they got treated differently. One was punished and one wasn't. And so even having to navigate that conversation to supervisors, like, hey, they both did the same thing, but it was handled completely different. Why is that? And then having them say something that's slightly racist and having to be like, well, you know, that's not really appropriate.
Right.
So.
Anyone else want to share? No? Yeah? Maybe?
Well, I would say my most blatant one was, I think it was eighth grade, because I was riding the bus, honey, because I didn't have a license. But I was in my neighborhood in Southwest Portland where I was adopted, where my parents lived. And I was walking down the hill out of my neighborhood, and there was this probably 77-year-old male, Caucasian, who always passed me around this time. So I don't know if he like always came from work, but he clearly had a routine that he would pass me right when I'm making that turn or going down the hill to get to the bus. And I'm walking down the hill, and I'm freshly adopted, probably 2 years into my adoption. And so definitely new to Portland, new to the scene. And I'm walking down this hill, and this man drives past me, and he rolls down the window. And I've always, you know, when you know, like, your energy is a little weird when you're around certain people by the way they look at you. And so he rolls down his window, and he's making a turn into my neighborhood as I leave it. And he yells, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here." And I remember, like, I just, like, I was stuck. You know when you think, later on, when things happen, you watch TV, you're like, oh, I would have told him, blah, blah, blah. But I just froze. And I didn't really know, especially being
you know, from Zimbabwe, where you're around all Black people, and there's really isn't a need for African history or African American history and classes or anything like that, and we don't really talk about it at home because all of your family is Black. And then being adopted into a multiracial family, you know, all we see is love. We can see each other's color in order for us to acknowledge our experiences, but for the most part, we just all love. And so I was struck, and I didn't have anything to say. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know exactly what was his reasoning for me to not be there. So I, you know, I just look at him, and he drives off, and I run to school, and I didn't tell my parents about it for probably about 2 to 3 days, just because I was so stuck in it. And then my parents, honey, ended up being more upset than I was, and trying to figure out a way that they can have like a neighborhood meeting and things like that. But you know, it's kind of like what Jasmine said, like when, for me, it's being Zimbabwean, and then on top of that, being in a country where if people look at me before I speak, I'm just African American. And then, you know, I am in a predominantly white town, and my majority, like the family that I'm living with, majority of them are white. So, you know, you have these different contexts of not understanding how to identify issues when they're in front of you, because you're confused as to which library pool do I pull this out of, or what answer, you know, do I have, and how can I approach this? And certainly that's probably my most vivid, you know, memory of when I felt like I was discriminated towards. Super scary.
Right. So you would say in that instance it was more of you being African American than being a woman?
I would say it was just my color at that point. I mean, because there are tons of people in that neighborhood that are women. And we had never heard of a situation before that, so.
Well, for me, I lived in a predominantly white neighborhood growing up, and middle school was the worst 3 years of my life. And, you know, those are the awkward stages. Everyone's going through puberty. Everyone wants to be mean to you. And because I was one of maybe five Black kids in the entire school, I was a target. So for Black girls, we had it hard. Black boys in the school, oh, they were so cool. They were the stars. Everybody wanted to be friends with the Black guy at school. But for us Black girls, it was just like, oh, you're not as cool. You know, so for this question, I think I could relate to both being discriminated against as a woman and being Black. But, you know, I'd get those stereotypical questions like, oh, don't you know this song? Or, oh, can you know how to twerk? Or, you know, can't you do this? Can't you do that? And it's just like, no. And sometimes I just say no just to prove a point, you know. Sometimes I would know. But I didn't want them thinking that.
When someone talks about Black people in the class, everybody goes
right, turns right around. Everybody
turns right around
and look at you. I'm like, I ain't got all the answers, like you said, Jasmine. I ain't walking, you know, encyclopedia. Example. Yeah, right. So, you know, middle school was so hard, and you know, nowadays I can spot things and pay. I'm more attentive to comments and slurs. But yeah, when I was young, I just didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, I just kind of took it and would cry about it later type thing. Or do I say something to them? Or I don't know. I went through it a lot. But yeah, it can be pretty stressful just living day to day and just having unexpected type discrimination. Like just out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, it could just be like a drive-by, like you said, and someone yells something out the window, or it can just be a subtle comment, and it just feel like, wait, huh? You have to, like, think twice about what they just said.
Right.
So.
And it's harder when you're younger because you haven't necessarily been equipped with the tools yet, you know, on how to deal with that emotionally.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that made me think of something, too, when I grew up, or part of my growing up was in high school. It was in Vegas, and I very rarely share this story, but to make a long story short, me and my friends, we were sitting at a Platt Pantry 7-Eleven right on Las Vegas Strip, and we were going to be going somewhere, but we went in to go get like Slurpees, Slushies, whatever they have at 7-Eleven nowadays, and we just went in there, and then we came back out, and you know when you just kind of sit in your car, and you're just like, waiting to hear from the next person, like, hey, what's going on tonight? So we were just sitting right in front, just parked in front, and out of nowhere, all these police cars just came on each side of us.
Shut the front door.
They came on each side of us and went on the intercom, you know, the little microphone, and said, you know, driver, step out, do a full circle. So we didn't even know what was going on, or I was too scared to look back. I didn't want to grab for anything. I just didn't know what to do. So once it was my turn to say, you know, the left side back seat or whatever, passenger, step out the car. So I stepped out the car, and I did the 360 turn and walked backwards. And as I did my 360, and I could visually see, it was nothing but officers. All of their guns were pulled.
Wow.
Oh my God.
It was the entire Las Vegas Strip out there. It was the most terrifying things. And as a woman, they treated me, it was two girls and two guys. Me and my girlfriend, we were treated just a teensy bit better, but the guys were slammed on the cars.
Wow.
And you know what? 2 seconds, I mean, I won't say it's 2 seconds, it lasted quite some time, but after everything happened, they were searching the car. We didn't know, we're like, what are they searching for? What are they searching for? The guy, the teller, the cashier called and said that he thinks that we were going to rob him. We've been sitting outside the 7-Eleven too long. And right afterwards, they're like, oh, well, you guys can go. But we were so young. Like, we would have made that would have been something to talk about today. Like, if that would have happened, I'm equipped with more knowledge to know, like, what to do about that.
Right.
At that time, we were just scared. Like,
you're just ready to go home.
Yeah. Like, the guys were actually in tears. We were in tears. Like, it was the most frightening situation. We didn't know. We had no idea what was going to happen. It was, and I don't even know how to explain it, but it was the most terrifying experience.
I am stunned. You can't park in front of a store. You can't walk home in a hoodie.
You can't go to church.
Right.
Exactly. It's actually Trayvon Martin's birthday today.
It is. 21st birthday.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Was it really that long ago?
It feels like yesterday.
It really does. Honestly.
And to imagine, like, what were we doing on our 21st birthday, you know? And to think that he won't get a chance to do that.
So many.
Yeah.
He won't get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to wrap up the show soon, but did you guys have any last-minute comments or remarks or... Yeah, do you want to share? No?
I'm just happy to be here this evening with all you ladies, and thank you, Jordan and Michelle, for having us tonight. It's been really good.
Thank you.
The dialogue has been
great. Thanks, guys. Like, you guys make this so comfy for me, because, you know, we talk about topics all the time, and it's a great way for us to share our voice with the world, and that's why I do this, for sure. But yeah, it's been great. Really quick before we close out, just to lighten the mood. So I've been seeing, you know, we start off talking about Stacey Dash in the beginning and how, like, every black person is just like, oh, let's trade her in for someone else.
What? Wait, I saw the meme. Channing Tatum, bring it.
Right, Channing Tatum. What's his, what's that one guy? He's in, like, all the
Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man movies.
I know it.
Gwen something.
Oh, the comedian.
Yes.
He's hilarious.
Hilarious.
So, and he posted something where he was like, I'm ready whenever you guys
are. Right. Y'all can have Raven Simone and Stacey Dash. Y'all can have them.
Oh, we didn't even touch on Raven.
I was going to say Raven, but I wasn't sure if it was okay.
Yeah, that was cool, y'all. Please.
All fun. But, thank you all for
for listening tonight. My name is Jordan Michelle, and you're listening to Bread and Roses. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, ladies, for being my guests this evening. It was so fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, for sure. And again, Bread and Roses airs every Friday from 6 to 7. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Nothing seems complete. I stand up and I'm searching for the better part of me.
Yeah.
I hang my head from sorrow
so much.
State of humanity.
What's up?
Strengthen me.